The Young Writers Hub Podcast with Matt and Wes.
Hello and welcome to the Young Writers Hub Podcast with me, Matt Sharp.
And me, Wes Brown.
Very authorial. It's the third installment of the podcast. I hope you're enjoying it so far. Today we're going to look at the Kindle and ebooks, as I've just got on myself. And we'll be looking at the publishing world and how the ebooks have affected the publishing world. We're also going to be looking at what we've been reading ourselves, see how that could... he's making a funny face at me. I'm destroying
my reading concentration. Inform our discussion, I think.
Inform a discussion about what we've been reading, see how that could help us in our own creative writing and what we can take from that. And as usual, you can email us at the Young Writers Hub Podcast at hotmail.co.uk for any questions you want us to answer. And you can send us your work so we can have a look at it and we can read out on podcast as well. Look at the news stories now from the Norway website. Just go on norway.co.uk and you should find all the news stories that you need to know. Wes, what have you been reading on the news this week?
There's an interesting article about streaming on the Norway website, which is basically ebook publishing going into a more Spotify style subscription model. And there's various people working this. There's rumours about Amazon going for this, and it all makes sense.
So, be that Spotify, really, you, like you said, stream books, it's not, you have a subscription based service, so you can click on any author, any book you like, and you just have it for £10 a month or £25 a month.
For as long as you subscribe and pay.
Like an online library, if you're a member of the library.
It's exactly like the library, apart from instead of going in there and showing them the library card and taking out a book, it's just on your device.
I can see how that's a good idea for like us, like the consumers. But what about the publishing industry? Like how music downloads like Napster and iTunes have helped to soften the music industry and its might, which is a good thing and it's a good thing as well.
Napster pirated everything. Has iTunes hurt music though? Because I mean, they do charge.
They do charge, but they get less for it, wouldn't you say?
Marginally, there's also, it opens up to a bigger market as well. And it depends what kind of publisher you are. And publishers will get royalties from the subscription service.
So, would they not get the subscription rights and royalties from like Amazon downloads for Kindle? Or?
Well, if you're a publisher and you sell on Amazon, you get a cut. It's not Amazon that takes all the money.
Right.
There's different rights and contracts set up. But for Dead Ink, for instance, Amazon takes 30% and we take 70%.
Okay, well, I imagine there'll be some Lars Ulrich fellow people publishers that wanting to oppose this.
Well, there's people who've been around a long time who want to oppose everything. And to be fair to them, they are losing control and potentially some of their revenue and so on.
Do you think they're democratising the publishing industry?
It is, but that's not necessarily a good thing.
Not in terms of commerce, I suppose. Well, but for the consumers,
just in terms of quality. But it does mean that if you're a small, decent publisher like Dead Ink, there's opportunities for a new model of independent publishing.
That's what you always get with that music industry. You always like MySpace and people like Mighty Monkeys got big through the internet, and then now they're a massive band. So it's good for, say, us. Not necessarily you, but me, who I might have a few short stories to put up on Dead Ink, and so it's good for like start-up writers, but not necessarily for established writers. Which...
Yeah, I mean, the revenues might not be there, but the audience might be. Like you say, you had a story published in the Cadaverine and that gets something like 30,000 page views a month, and given that in the old model for a literary magazine, the most established ones are looking at 1,000 to 5,000 subscribers a month, so it's a huge audience.
We'll get on to that discussion now about the Kindle, the ebooks, stuff like that, and how it's affecting the known established publishing industry and how it's revolutionising it in some ways. Wes, as someone who works in this field more than most, you have more of an insight to this sort of thing. How would you summarise the situation with Faber and Faber and Van der Pals and the established publishing industry?
Well, I do it on their own terms. And if you're looking for a bookseller, at recent surveys of publishing MDs for these sorts of companies, above 60, 70% of them are positive about the future and positive about ebooks and positive about apps. It's slightly decreased in the same figures from last year. Now, that might be them putting on a good spin on things because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they suddenly were seen to be panicking, it might look bad for the business. Or more likely, it reflects a genuine confidence. And ebooks are presenting publishers and apps with new ways to interact with audiences and new things to sell to them. And at the moment, most ebooks aren't sold much cheaper than the print counterpart. And revenues were decreasing before the ebooks really took off. Ebooks are now accounting for more sales for these publishers. And what really depends what kind of stuff you're publishing, but the kind of thing that made borders fall and that worried some of the bigger publishers is when supermarkets started selling mass market fiction.
Yes.
Far cheaper than anyone else could.
So,
and also you've got Amazon to compete with who don't have any of the printing costs.
So it's not so much the publishers, it's the shops, the Waterstones, the Borders, the Stand Struggle. Lots of 3-for-2 of Waterstones recently.
Yeah, but that came from the abolition of a netbook agreement that the booksellers and the publishers pretty much supported. Because there used to be a minimum price for a book.
Yes.
That was abolished. And so then we had the era of 3-for-2s and buy one, get one frees and the really cheap doorbusters.
Cool. So publishers are adapting to this new technology. So how are Amazon playing it? Are they trying to outprice the publishers? They're a big global firm.
Well, you've got to remember that Amazon is the shop for the publishers. All the publishers use Amazon.
Yeah, that's true.
To sell their stuff. But Amazon wants to sell as much stuff as it can and will put discounts on certain books. Or when you sign up, because it's such a big force, some of the terms can be quite restrictive, particularly for smaller publishers who can't negotiate unique deals and so on. And so with rights and so on. Like with the controversy over the new iBook author app is that whatever you create with that app, and if you're going to sell it, you can only sell it through the Apple iBook store.
Yeah.
You can't sell. So there's these sorts of conditions and terms that are in. And also, if you sign up to Amazon, it's for global rights you're giving them as well, or at least with Dead Ink.
So the rights go from the publishers to these distributors, in this case, Amazon and Apple?
Pretty much, yeah.
So I was looking at Amazon and Apple as the shop fronts. That's what, how you're looking at it. So
but on a lot of the stuff, they now have exclusivity.
That's what I was going to get onto.
So which is what a publisher would usually have. And now the sort of the shop is having.
So the change from the publishers only doing it to a collaboration, and now maybe a switch to Amazon or the total switch or partial switch.
There's a lot of debate about the models that are coming in to sell stuff. But it looks as though that Amazon will win the day. Because a lot of the debate was about who sets ebook prices, publishers or the iBook store and Amazon.
Okay. Let's go on to this more of an idea for, to help our listeners, basically. We've talked about Dead Ink and our way of doing the monthly thing, but this self-publishing idea. There's a software you've just shown me on your computer. You can tell us more about that, so you can help.
Well, yeah, the iBook author app is new out, and you can produce what is known as an enhanced ebook. Now, your basic ebook is just a print-ready file. It's what a book is before it's printed. It's a typeset document. That's what Kindle book is. It's the EPUB file and so on. Enhanced is anything with mixed media in. And so we're going to see more of that because on any ebook you have to pay value-added tax.
Yeah.
So, because it's counted as a media item, and so if it's counted as a media item already, it makes sense to add the media into it. Mm-hmm. Now that the technology is there, and we're going to see books that are going to be have hyperlinks in, that are going to be socially interactive, that you can read on social
media.
Yeah, there's got video, audio.
Yeah, because video and audio. There's a book on iPad where about the planets and the stars, where you flick from star to star, and pictures of the star, and then a voice can read it out, or you can read it yourself. And mixed media is the way it's going. Obviously, this is something you're trying to take advantage of yourself with Narway as well. Can you tell us more about that with the poetry readings you mentioned to me earlier?
Well, that's Dead Ink.
Dead Ink.
But with Narway, we're trying to do that for the bi-monthly magazine.
Yes.
Where we have more mixed media, and hopefully this podcast will be part of that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, yeah, Dead Ink is going to publish an album of poems.
So, oh, cool. We'll talk about that in a sec. But Narway, so if you, the listener, would submit something to Narway to be on this bi-monthly thing, I would potentially get interview for a podcast which would come as a part of the book as well.
Hmm.
So you get two for the price of one, basically.
But basically, we're looking into distributing through apps. So you get the app on your phone or your iPad or your computer, and then you can read, watch, and listen to the magazine.
Is this subscription-based as well?
It will be free to members.
Free to members, but
there'll be a small fee for non-members.
Well, well worth it, it would seem. The mixed media, as well as if you publish your own stuff as well. Listeners, if you want to publish through Narway or Dead Ink, you get your stuff read out if you as well on the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's just all mixed media. It's a more dynamic way of producing things, because all publishers now must be broadcasters.
How would these, if you were going to publish through Kindle, self-published or as a part of something else, a publisher or small publisher, how would these people be paid? How would this be funded?
Do you mean authors individually?
Yes, authors, and then maybe in the wider context.
Well, at the moment, we've got a digital version of the old model, essentially, where people buy units.
Yeah.
You go on Amazon and you buy you buy a Kindle book the same way you buy a print book. Instead of it being sent in the post, it gets sent electronically. And while that happens, you know, the publisher takes a percentage, and of that, they will have agreed terms with an author.
Okay.
So they'll get a small royalty out of each sale. And if a subscription model comes in, it'll be sort of similar, but based on downloads and royalties.
Payment for first-time publishers, the first-time writers get published, isn't necessarily given. I wasn't paid, which is fair enough. But
almost all literary magazines and journals and websites, you won't be paid.
Yeah.
And even now, if you get a novel published by a publisher, you're unlikely to have an advance. Or if you do get an advance, it's not going to be very large. Even if it's something like £5,000 for 2 years' work. It's not...
In a way, this new wave of publishing is cutting out the flack of people just doing it for the money. In a way, it's now people who just want to write.
Well, no, because I think that authors do... Why shouldn't authors be allowed to make a living?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the payment...
I don't think anybody really was in writing for the money, because it's too difficult. You can't just write a bestseller. It's people... You can't do it.
You write a self-help book that people buy because they're stupid. Then...
Well, go and do it.
I can try.
Yeah, and you'll fail, because people smell insincerity. It's like all these people who've... It's been done, attempted numerous times, where people try and write a Mills and Boone. But those people, like those Mills and Boones, are very particular.
Mm.
And you can't fake it.
Okay, well, I'm being very cynical there, obviously, but if we do it now, people are always going to write, if we get paid or not. So there's always going to be that market.
Yeah, but my point was not as sort of in opposition to you, but more kind of, there's an idea that you go, oh, well... You know, same for musicians as well. You're doing all that. Why should you get paid? And I think that why shouldn't these creatives who produce this work that we all like be able to have an income based on their work? And the way things are, the way the model is now, the way revenues are, is probably unlikely. But most creatives will make money directly from their art, and instead everybody will have a sideline.
Okay, cool. I'm not saying people shouldn't be paid. But
no, I'm not saying you are, but I'm talking about just rhetorically.
Yes.
And you know, why shouldn't they? And because there's a sort of mood out of a sort of antipathy. You know, why should you be paid? You're writing books. You know, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, this is what we talked about earlier, Napster. Mm. They will pay the artists, and obviously those sued by Metallica, Jumbo, Lazo, which were one. So we saw about Steve Jobs the last time, the iTunes store, I think that's helped move the music industries forward. So is this something that would help the publishing industry is moving this to the 21st century?
Yeah, I haven't seen the statistics or know much of music opinion. Do you think iTunes has moved music on?
I don't think it's moved the industry.
It's in partnership with the iPod and that sort of thing as well, isn't it?
Well, it's not. I would say it's moved the industry on, because it was stuck with CDs and records, and that was to change that. So someone had to react to make something similar, and Steve Jobs did that with the iStore. Mm. It doesn't make music different. It makes the industry different. The music has to suit the media, has to suit the output. It should be output-led rather than the company-led.
Mm.
That's what I think anyway.
The Young Writers Hub interview.
So, Cara Brennan, you're a poet and you've been involved with literature projects and so on.
Yep.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm having a really nice time.
It's good, isn't it? Snowy Sheffield.
Yep, beautiful view.
So, what have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm working on my MA, doing creative writing at Newcastle, which is really nice. So, I've just been working towards my submissions for that, which is quite hard because I had to write about 20 poems in like a month, so I'm just sort of sifting through what I've submitted now and thinking about what to do with it next.
So might this become a collection?
It might become a collection. I think the MA is kind of driven towards making a collection anyway, but maybe one day after the pamphlet first. Quilt. The October sun breeds cataracts, and the breeze freezes my bones. My neck is wool deep in check, and it's hard to text with mittens on. It's not been this bright in weeks. The glow shows glitter in rows up the street. The morning, like a hot drink in a cool glass, means the nights are drawing in. Will pull my blanket to the bed. It's patchwork. It is made from destroyed dresses. I envisage one, black with small blue birds. Their feathers shake with the chill of my house. Their beaks are a hurried applause. The White Horse, 1995. I am 5 years old, chilled to my core by a breeze that breaks through my cardigan. We are at the top of the White Horse, looking for a suitable edge to scatter Gamfi's ashes. Beyond the cinder track and brittle fence stands an airfield where gliders impersonate curlews. They would have no flight without this wind. I am fearful. My hair is plaited for the occasion, nipped in place with an orange hair tie. Its cheap elastic is covered with abrasive fabric, lace, a silk bow and pearls, my reception class decadence. I cannot bear to think a gust may take it from me. I desperately clutch the ends of my hair, my first memory of worry. These days, it takes the form of frustrated pillow dancing and the eternal spit of street lamps. I wish I could be sleeping open-mouthed, spider-ready. I should have pulled the orange bind from my caged locks to cast it amongst the trees below. Cherry beer. I had almost forgotten how I would wait up for you, how I would wash my hair, put the makeup on where it looked like I wasn't wearing any. But I look better than wearing none and sit on my bed reading and watching catch-up TV until you texted, "Hey, I'm outside." That bit was never a surprise, for I trained myself to know how you sounded getting out of a taxi, an engine muted, a door slammed and footsteps. I could not be mad if you were late, because you were so new and you weren't yet mine, but you dulled my candlelit scowls with cherry beer in bed. We would familiarise our days tearing wrappers from bottles to alternate sips and kisses before daybreak, where I would fold the scrunched red paper into cranes and hold them after you left.